WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming ABC on the Civic
News.
Media app.
I'm M. Nguyen. U.S. Army Private Travis King off a plane overnight in San Antonio, Texas. He's back in the U.S. after fleeing into North Korea in July and held captive ever since. Last night's Republican presidential debate went on without former President Donald Trump, most of the candidates shying away from attacking the GOP frontrunner.
I mean, Christie did take him on some of the substantive issues, took him on crime, on border, on his record. But it was remarkable how Trump basically got out scot-free, no major attacks on him from the other candidates besides, suggesting that he should have been there.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. A defiant New Jersey senior senator, Bob Menendez, set to address fellow Democrats behind closed doors today, one day after he and his wife were arraigned on federal bribery charges allegedly enriching themselves with a stash of cash and other luxuries. This is ABC News. 3 years after she went missing, the remains of a Colorado woman have been found. Susan Morphew vanished on Mother's Day 2020 when she was out for a bike ride. Her remains now found about 50 miles from her home. 2 years ago, her husband was arrested and charged with first-degree murder, but the charges were dropped. A lot of fast food workers in California are in line for a raise, thanks to a bill due to be signed today.
It's being called a landmark bill. Not only will it increase the minimum wage for fast food workers to $20 an hour, the bill will also create a statewide fast food council to give the fast food workforce a stronger voice. It'll impact more than 500,000 fast food workers in the state. It'll take effect in April. It's not all fast food chains, only those that have at least 60 restaurants nationwide. And it could be just the beginning. That council will work on raising wages higher, plus on things like working hours and health and safety rules. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
M. Nguyen, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
A sixth grader from Ishwaubenon received one of the highest honors for a Girl Scout, and it was for saving her mother's life. 11-year-old Ashley McGee was given the Girl Scouts Medal of Honor. Ashley's mother, Danielle, says in August she was having stroke symptoms. Ashley got on the phone with the 911 operator and calmly explained what was happening while trying to keep her mother and sister calm as well. The Medal of Honor was presented to Ashley on Tuesday, September 26th, in a ceremony at Ishwaubenon Village Hall. A Fond du Lac man faces 10 counts of possession of child pornography. Fond du Lac police took 28-year-old Alan Moreau into custody on September 21st at his home. Authorities said they executed a search warrant on Moreau's phone after receiving two cyber tips from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Each of the counts carries up to 25 years in prison and possibly a $100,000 fine.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Mino and the Mayor.
What do you think of this team, Brady, with the new quarterback?
It's such a wild card because you go all the way back to Aaron Rodgers. What's been cool about my football experience is I've seen this. Aaron was a good player. Nobody ever expected him to become a first-ballot Hall of Famer, especially under the circumstances of having to replace a Hall of Famer, which is rare.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I'm so happy to have my dear brother, James Causey, award-winning writer and author of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who's, look, man, I remember you when, you know, my hair used to be black.
We go way back around.
Yeah, man, we do, man. And now there's gray in your beard.
Yeah, well, it's called living. It's called living in our city.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the radio show and my listening audience. Get to know a little bit about you. Let's tell a little bit about who James Causey is.
Yeah, James Causey. Who am I? I'm a journalist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm a
award-winning journalist.
Come on. You know, if you've been in this business long enough, you should have won several awards, right? Because the media industry, as you know, is tough. It's tough to and it's especially tough being a black journalist in a city that we love and cover, because we have to tell harsh truths sometimes, and right. We also have to educate. So that's what I try to do every day when I go into work, when I craft my stories. I'm a father, I'm a husband. I try to be in a community as much as possible, but I also take mental breaks, because we all need to do that as well. But I strive to want to see my community do better.
With your talents, man, you could go anywhere and do the job. Why are you still in Milwaukee?
That's a good question. but I'm here because this is my hometown, and I want to see it do well, just like you do. And you know, like you said, we have these talks before.
Yeah, right.
You're a lifer. You constantly say you're not going any place, and I thought about leaving. I've lived in other cities. I've lived in Boston. I lived in New York. I lived in other cities.
Right.
And I you know, this is my home though, and I want to see it do well.
Let me ask you, man. For people who don't really know the the critical things that occur with young people and their development in our city and in other urban cities that weren't there when you and I were young. Tell us a little bit about some of the changes that have happened since you were a child, and things that young people today face that you and I didn't when we were young.
Well, you know, let's just talk about education, for instance. You know, our kids go through metal detectors. Our kids are constantly subjected to violence. They see it on a daily basis, even just going to school, getting to school, getting out of, you know, just getting up to get to school is a challenge for a lot of young people because they see things that a lot of kids in more affluent communities don't have to come across. You know, the reckless driving, the crime, a lot of these things. Literacy is a huge issue in our community. But we also, I think we have to wrap our arms around our kids and love them more. I just don't think we have love for our young people like we should. And I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about everyone. You know, we're quick to criticize and talk about how young people aren't doing this and young people aren't doing that. Like we were not young.
Right.
But if we took the time to really try to understand our youth and get to understand them and know them and listen to them and incorporate some of their ideas into some of the things that we are trying to fix, I think we could go a lot further. But this is what typically happens. Like, let me give you an example. I was recently at a panel discussion where we had a bunch of young people talking about some of the obstacles that they face. It was like at the Helen Bader. Had like four young people on a dais speaking. And the young people said, well, you know, we don't want to see more cops in schools. We would like more mental health experts. We would like more counselors. We would like more peer mediation and things like that. But, you know,
what that falls on deaf ears.
Yeah. And, you know, we listen, we applaud, we say, oh, they're so articulate. We say, man, these are really good kids. But then we said, no, we're not going to give you that. We're going to add more officers to your school. We're going to give you this instead of what you really asked for. And that has happened far too many times. And then we wonder why these ideas that adults come up with never work because we listen to the kids, but we never incorporate their ideas. You know, kids know what they need. They know what they need. We just have to really listen and try to incorporate those ideas.
You know, James, when, you know, and I always say this, every time I get a chance to talk with a group of young children, I always tell them raise their hands if they know somebody who's been shot or who's been killed. And if somebody would have asked you and your generation, the percentage of kids raising their hand would have been a lot less than the 80 to 90% that we see today.
Oh, of course.
If they would have asked that question to my generation, if one person would have raised their hands. So when you talk about the crime that they're faced with, we're not talking about pickpocket crimes.
No.
We're not talking about those. We're talking about people being slaughtered. We're talking about murders. We're talking about blood running in the street.
Exactly. And we're numb to it. We're numb to it. There was
a society.
As a society. Of course.
Right.
We're numb to it. And why isn't that? That should raise awareness to everything, to our mental state, to our mental health, to what our kids see. You know, we like to say our kids and adults are resilient, but how resilient do you have to be when you see that on a constant basis and it doesn't seem like it affects you? I don't know if that's called being resilient. I think that's just being numb to an issue that you can't get out of.
So you can, on the one hand, talk about post-traumatic stress disorder that military veterans engaged in and the impact that they know it has on those men and women who fight in these battles.
Right.
And then not agree and say that that also impacts children even more so because they're in war zones in their communities where more people are killed in their community than even in theaters of war.
Of course. But think about this, Earl. I think we've come a long ways on how we talk about mental health. It used to be something like nobody wanted to be considered crazy. You know, that was one of those words that we used to toss out there all the time. We don't use terms like that as much now. And everyone talks about mental health. Police talk about mental health. Young people talk about mental health. Adults talk about mental health. But we talk about it, but I'm not really seeing the action behind it of what we really need. You know, why is it in some neighborhoods we have more liquor stores than anything else? You know, when I drive to work, you know, and it's like a 2 mile drive or 2.5 mile drive, there's like about 20 establishments or 25 establishments where I could stop in and get alcohol. That's a problem to me. That's a problem. You know, so, you know, I think this is done on, you know, I've been getting into more conspiracy theories type of things. And I think this is a numbing of our society, you know, give them alcohol to keep them numb to all the things around them instead of really trying to fix them and bring them up. You know, I that's the way I'm starting to look at things now. And it's completely changing my sense of where we are.
So let's just for a moment pause and look at that issue with the liquor stores and the bars in certain radiuses in our neighborhoods and in our communities.
Most of them that we don't own.
That is something that can be controlled, and it is on the older people.
Yes.
Who look like you and me.
Yes.
Who allow that to take place.
Yes.
That's something that should be controlled.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
But you don't have people who are politically savvy enough in the communities and in the neighborhoods, because their struggle is to survive on a daily basis. They're not as politically savvy as people are in many other areas, because we have one of the youngest populations, African-American populations in the nation.
One of the youngest, one of the poorest,
right.
one of the populations that has the widest educational gaps.
Right.
Widest wealth gaps. I mean, you know, think about this, Earl. You know, we're talking about something really deep here in mental health, but we have a lot of people who are just in survival mode. Everything is high. Gas is high. Food is high. Rent is high. Everything can't be high at the same time. And poor people are trying to navigate and trying to live and survive when everything is high. Everything is high except the salaries. The salaries aren't going up.
So James, here's what they say. Well, it's because of Joe Biden that everything is high, right? Okay. It doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or a Republican when it comes to these the fact that people who live in these pockets in this country cannot survive. They cannot move forward because, you know, Democrats aren't going to be able to change the pay structure for people who are on the lowest rung. Democrats alone aren't going to be able to change the things that need to be changed in the educational system, because some of these things, James, are institutional.
Well, some of the things could be changed. We could change the minimum wage and raise it.
Right. But both Democrats and Republicans should make that happen.
Well, that should be just a common sense approach. You know, it's been 735 for the last 20 years or so.
Hold on, man. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. I'm so glad to have my friend and my brother, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, James Causey, in the studio. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective.
Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. High of 69 this afternoon under overcast skies, easterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 52. Highs level off around 73. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Turning warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. Once again, a high of 69 this afternoon, lows level off around 52 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 61.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is James Cause, the award-winning journalist and author of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You know, James, when we talk about mental health and we're talking about, you know, something that I talk about on this show all the time, because mental health issues in this country impact and affect from the wealthiest, from the people who live high on the hill, to those who live down on the ground. Doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what your religious persuasion is, mental health is an issue that is getting worse in this country and should be a priority. But don't tell me that we can't afford to help the American people who have mental illnesses, especially children, because children with mental illness grow up to be adults with mental illness.
Right.
And the fact that we won't address it in these early stages sets us up for some of the carnage that we see in the society.
There's no argument with you there. And the sad part about this is that we know this. I mean, this isn't brand new. We've been talking about this. Everybody knows this. But what are we doing about it? What's really taking place to really get a grip on this? I think what we have, you know, this has become a political issue because no one wants to give anyone else a win, you know? And this happens all the time. If, for instance, if a Democratic governor puts X amount of dollars into mental health, you may have a Republican-controlled
Senate
that says, nah, we're not going to let you get this win. How does that help us? How does that help the public? And it could be the other way around. Republican brings this up, and if the Dems control, they may not want to give this person a win. I think we have to get rid of the politics when it comes to addressing the issues of our citizens and making sure that they're made whole. I mean, we're struggling every day. I mean, you know, I've seen how our grocery bills have gone up. I've seen car insurance is up and all these kind of things. That stuff, that stress, that pressure from trying to pay your bills, trying to survive, challenges you mentally. If you're not challenged by that, you're better than me because I'm stressed out by it.
You know, man, I did something I haven't done in a long time, and I had an Egg McMuffin this morning. You can lash me if you know, and I deserve a lashing for having an Egg McMuffin. But I took it out of the wrapper, and it was half of what it used to be.
Well, yeah, cut back.
The size of it.
Yeah, cut back.
The price of it remains the same.
Yes.
But half the size.
Yes.
And yet people are paying what they paid before. Go into any grocery store and pick up any item, and it looks like the little items that they used to have when your sisters used to get, you know, for Christmas, they get the little refrigerator and the little boxes of things. Mm-hmm. And yet, that's real food.
Bigger is not better.
Of them, no. And the prices of them have soared.
Of course.
Okay? And yet, the average person, as you talked about, minimum wage in the state of Wisconsin, is still $7.50. And then people say, well, you know, Earl, nobody's making $7.50. Maybe not, but they're making 10. They're making 12, so, which is a poverty rate.
And a lot of people are making the $7 and some odd cents. You know, the thing is, that's just what people, that's, think about it. Why haven't we even addressed this? Why can't this become an issue? I mean, I know fast food workers have went on strike and talked about raising the minimum wage to $12 to $15 and things like this. But every time they do this, you know, people say, nah, they don't deserve that. They don't deserve that. But, you know, can you go any place right now without having that screen flipped on you and somebody requesting a tip? I mean,
I know.
It's they're tipping us to death, you know, and I feel guilty when I don't tip. And so, you know, they're trying to get it any way that they can. And I feel sorry for them because I know minimum wage should be raised because nobody could live off of what we pay them. And honestly, you know, they've done studies to show that what it should be around $16 an hour for the minimum wage.
And even, but James, even with $16 an hour in today's...
It's not enough.
No. I mean, we're talking, I had a woman on a couple times. She's spent 30 years working in fast food.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful lady. And the most she ever made was $14 an hour as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
She worked 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
What position do you think she's in economically as she enters into a retirement age? What do you think her Social Security benefit is going to be like and how much money that's going to be? Never mind, she hasn't been able to save a dime.
No.
And yet she's worked her entire adult life. She represents many people, James. She's not alone.
She represents America, and we don't value work. And when I say we don't value work, I think if you work any place for like 10, 20, 30 years, it's value in that. There should be respect in that. And when you do retire, if you're able to see retirement, you shouldn't have to struggle even more. What does that say about us when a person gives you 30 years of their life to an industry or to a company or to someone like that? And when they do retire, when their bodies are broken down, they still have to struggle.
Well, but see, James, what it says is there was a time in this society when that didn't occur because there were pensions. And 30% or more of the American people receive that. Mm-hmm. I receive one. It makes a major difference in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But others who did the exact same thing that I did don't.
Right.
And so they came up with a 401k hustle that they tried to replace the pensions with.
Yes.
You know, because they certainly didn't want the people to get their fair benefits and fair share. Listen, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. James Causey, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, is in studio. I'm glad he's here. We'll be right back.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm M. Nguyen. U.S. Army Private Travis King off a plane overnight in San Antonio, Texas. He's back in the U.S. after fleeing into North Korea in July and held captive ever since. Last night's Republican presidential debate went on without former President Donald Trump, most of the candidates shying away from attacking the GOP frontrunner.
I mean, Christie did take him on some of the substantive issues, took him on crime, on border, on his record, but it was remarkable how Trump basically got out scot-free, no major attacks on him from the other candidates besides suggesting that he should have been there.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. A defiant New Jersey senior senator, Bob Menendez, set to address fellow Democrats behind closed doors today, one day after he and his wife were arraigned on federal bribery charges allegedly enriching themselves with a stash of cash and other luxuries. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
St. Norbert College is laying off 41 staff members. The college says 29 staff members will be let go immediately and 12 more staff will be let go after the semester ends or at the end of the year. A spokesperson for the college says by cutting operating costs, it will allow the school to continue to serve students without compromising student services or activities. Colleges across the state face financial challenges. UW-Oshkosh recently announced staff layoffs due to a budget shortfall, and Cardinal Stritch University closed for good last spring after 85 years. Amid recent reports of several missing people in northeast Wisconsin, there is some good news. Yasmin Alan and her two-year-old daughter Amina were found yesterday shortly before noon. They had been missing since September 21st when they left home and did not come back. There are no further details at this time, but we'll keep you posted. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knodel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Oh, James, and by the way, I play the best music anyway.
I love it.
Oh, I can see more that you don't know me very well. You're so unsure, and you run here and
all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is award-winning journalist and author James Causey of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what, sir?
Hey, Earl. Thank you, James, for what you do.
Thank you.
And Jeannie is definitely a rock star. She's from a town only a half hour from mine, her being in Eau Claire and me being originally from Durand. So shout out to Jeannie. I think the biggest question we should be asking politicians is, you can look at the statistics And you can see that there's four indices, basically, that things are broken down into. And one is mortgage or rent, and that's about $16,000 a year. Healthcare, which is about $16,000 a year, whether it be in premiums or actual medical care. Child care, which is $16,000 a year if you have a child that has to go to child care, and $16,000 a year in taxes. So something's got to give, or they got to come up with a plan, because if you're only making $15 an hour, that's $30,000 a year. Family of two, that's $60,000 a year, and you've already paid $64,000 for your expenses. I mean, I don't understand why it is that people that are in the we the people government, or we the people, are not looking at this and going, this math just does not work. And then you have, like you're talking about, you have all these different establishments, alcohol places and stuff like that. But look at all the payday lenders that are on every block and every corner, probably, that's going on as well.
Predatory lending, man.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just don't know where it is. You know, and then people talk about, oh, the prices are so high. Well, we got monopolies. Of course the prices are so high. Break up the monopolies with the Sherman antitrust law that Ronald Reagan basically got rid of. And you know what? You'll start having competition and prices will start to drop. But right now, these prices are high, not because
because of Joe Biden.
No, not because of Joe Biden. And Joe Biden does not control the gasoline either. That's OPEC, and that's sold on a national or world deal. So I don't know what they're talking about with that either.
So Tom, we got you, man. Thank you very much for the call. So James, at the root of all of these things is the American people don't really understand. Many in this country do not understand the inner workings of the government.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize that when you elect people, they should be doing the bidding for you and not for lobbyists and not for corporations.
Mm-hmm.
But behind the scenes, that's where they're doing their business. They're hurting you and I, because the very people who are taking advantage of us are the ones they're catering to.
Of course. I mean, thanks for the last call. I mean, you also got to factor in food, electricity, gas, clothing, transportation, new taxes that they're putting on us as well. But you make an interesting point here, Earl. I mean, I think that the common denominator here is corporate greed. And people, it's the difference between the haves and the have-nots. You know, our politicians, we elect them based on various reasons. We pick them because we think they have the best interest in mind. They have a good look. They speak well. Whatever we pick them for. But we expect them to do the things that we want them to do. But behind the scenes, all the time, they're like, they're not listening to us. They're being controlled by all the money that they're taking from other people.
I know.
And that's what they're doing. So the only time that they really come to us to cater to us when they need our vote. Other than that, you don't see them.
So people get frustrated with me because, you know, James, you've known me for a long time. And let's do this. Let's go to CJ. Go ahead, CJ.
I just can't even believe that, this president and his policies from day one with executive's orders have not had any responsibility draining our strategic oil reserve.
Hey, CJ.
And that's why Saudi said, you know what, we're not going to produce more
CJ,
for you.
CJ, there are many people in this country who don't give a hoot about the strategic oil reserve being drained. They're worried about, am I going to be able to pay, especially in the state of Wisconsin and in the city of Milwaukee, am I going to be able to pay my gas bill? which at many instances, James, is more than the rent.
Yeah.
And so they're concerned about being put out of their house every April 15th, which is tax day for some, but it's homelessness day for many who live in the state of Wisconsin who can't pay the freight for the gas bill, you know, because they rent a house that is not sealed. I don't know.
Energy efficient.
And so they're not worried about, you know, the things you're talking about, CJ. They're worried about survival. This is what we're talking about. Too many people in the nation concerned about survival. If you're not, you're fortunate. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about the people who are. And that number continues to climb, James, and it's not an urban myth. It's rural. It's all over the nation.
It's all over the nation. And you could just, you know, drive down many of the streets in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County area, and you see people begging for money all the time. And they're coming all colors, all races, all sexes. You know, you can't drive, for instance, drive down South 27th Street. You're guaranteed to pass at least 15 to 20 people looking for needing money or standing on the corner begging.
Well, so clearly there's something wrong with our system of government. At the root of it, there's something about this system. And I started my show this morning, the first hour, talking about this government. And so unless people really understand that, and I know right now people are rallying, hey, get out and vote. It's the presidential election. Get out and vote, 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 vote. And so the way the system is presently set up, even voting does not change the reality for many people. CJ.
The policies that have been put in place by this government during COVID, and yes, it has come home to roost, but the whole thing starts with parents, Earl. Everything comes to the parents. The kids today aren't educated.
Is that the parents' fault?
I didn't mention a color to you.
I didn't say a color. I said, is that the parents' fault? Said everything starts with the parents.
You know what? There's one parent homes, and they come in all colors. You claim that I only point out the inner city kids. I'm saying the family structure and education and the ability for parents to walk away and depend on the government, to depend on the teacher, to depend on everybody else than themselves to educate their children. It is sad to watch.
Hey CJ, go ahead, Jay.
I'm just going to jump in here, CJ. You know, I was lucky enough to come from a two-parent household, but we believe in a village approach anyway. And I think that's the part I think Earl is trying to get through to you. We're not talking about race here, but you say that, you know, a lot of these kids come from single-parent households. I know some people who have been are products of two-family households, and they also struggled. I mean, I don't think that that's the sole problem. And when we talk about education, some of these parents are struggling educationally, you know, and they're paying back student loans. I pay back student loans for like over 20 years for my Marquette education, you know? So college expenses they take a tremendous toll on people. So again, everything can't be expensive. So we have to take a village approach to address this. So yeah, teachers bear a brunt of that. They need to be on the hook. Education systems need to be on the hook. Parents have a role as well. But it's just, you could say it starts with the parents. And of course, we know it is, because that's where the kid is most of the time before they go to school. But after that, it becomes a village approach. And everybody has to be a part of this and be a part of this kid's success. And why should we just look at the kid and say, oh, he came from a single parent household, he's struggling? Well, that's the opportunity for everybody else to step in and lift this kid up, because when a kid struggles, that's impacts all of us. And if take race out of it, it impacts everyone. It becomes a burden on society. So we could sit back and blame the parents and think we did something in doing that. But what does that really do if we're not going to add action to it?
So, and the other part of this is, let's stop talking like it's easy to raise a child.
Right.
It's even with two parents. Okay. It's not. And James, the society around us has changed. This thing.
The cell phone.
The impact of what children are exposed to today.
Yes.
Even, and James, you're a lot younger than I am, but you're getting there. And that technology has changed since you were younger.
And that technology has made it much difficult for parents.
Yes.
It's made it more difficult for us. I've worked with some of the most educated people in the state of Wisconsin. I was just saying the nation.
Right.
Right. I work with some of the most brilliant journalists ever, educated, to come from two parent households, sent their kids to college, and guess what? Because of corporate greed, and this may get me in trouble, but due to cutbacks and slashing of staffs, a lot of these people lost their jobs and they're still looking for work. So if their kids struggle a little bit because they lost their jobs, is this the parents' fault? Something beyond their control? No, it's not. Society has changed to the point where I don't think, like, again, we don't value work. We don't value the dedication that people have given to a lot of these companies, where a company, you could give them 20 years, 25 years, and they'd be like, our second quarter sales were pretty tough, and we're looking to get like at least 20 people to take a buyout. And so these people lose their jobs.
So
that has nothing to do with anything else but just greed.
So a society that refuses to value people. James, mm-hmm. That's where we are. We live in a society that does not value human capital, right?
True.
And so nobody makes money without having somebody who helps them along the way.
Exactly.
And there was a time in this society that in my lifespan, where the corporation valued the employees because they offered them vacations. They offered them pensions. They offered them health care. And that's what built the middle class in this country. And they took all of that away.
Now they just say goodbye.
Yeah. And so the middle class struggles. And it does not matter. Listen, we got to go to a break. So Ken, hang on. And my guest is James Causey, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll be right back.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa presents the Golden Days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to 4 times. The Golden Days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies this afternoon with a high of 69. Easterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 52. Tonight, partly cloudy. A mix of clouds and sun again. Tomorrow, highs level off around 73. Turning warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. Another look at the short range. High of 69 this afternoon. Lows level off around 52 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 61.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Hey.
All right, welcome back to what I think is just too fast a time frame. You know, it's like in the twinkling of an eye. My good friend James Causey just walked in the door, and now it's almost c'est la vie. But anyway, let's go to the phone lines and Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning to you, Ken. You say what?
You're doing well.
Okay.
March of 2020, Joe Biden did an interview on Face the Nation, vows to ban oil and gas drilling if elected president. There's your answer. That's why people are on the streets begging for money.
Hey, let me ask you something. You live in Sturgeon Bay. Are there any people on the street begging for money in Sturgeon Bay?
Yes, there is.
Okay, so you're going to tell me that the reason the people on the street begging for money in Sturgeon Bay is because of Joe Biden and oil?
Fuel prices. You can't pay $5-6 a gallon for diesel fuel and bring products around this nation that cost.
Is that the major issue, Ken? One of the biggest issues that we're dealing with in this country?
That started everything, Earl. $5-6 a gallon diesel fuel pushed the cost of everything up. That's why inflation started. You can't run a country on $5-6 a gallon in fuel.
Hey Ken, let me ask you this one. COVID didn't have let me ask you this one question, and then I'll let James respond to you. Mm-hmm. Are you aware that inflation is global?
Yes, it is.
No, Joe Biden did not start global inflation, man.
He didn't. The biggest economy in the world, you don't think that's going to affect other countries if inflation's high here?
Okay. Okay, man. Thank you very much, Nicole. James?
Well, I think it's that's a simplistic way to answer a question. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. It's a combination of, what the effects of COVID and how the country was shut down. It was a result of people reevaluating themselves and looking at how to reinvent themselves after COVID. Everybody's recouping their money that they lost during COVID.
So let me ask you, James, to descend into the conversation what Ken is having, as if there weren't people struggling and poor
before COVID. Joe Biden.
Yeah. I mean, it's a simplistic way for people who aren't genuine enough to address the real issues in our society, James. And I think it is part and parcel the reason we are where we are now, because we can't have a real intelligent conversation about the truth of what brought this nation to where it is now.
It's interesting that I didn't really hear drilling talked about last night during a Republican debate. So if that was the case, I think they would have been all over that, and that would have been the number one topic of conversation.
So let me ask you, man, our nation is in trouble. It's safe to say that. I'll tell you something. It's in some of the worst trouble that's been in my 69 years of living.
Mm-hmm.
And the future of it is questionable. When you have such a large segment of the population and growing who can't make it justly or rightly in this society, while a handful of people continue, and somebody told me, hey, Earl, hey, are you aware that Elon Musk is going to become the first trillionaire? And I'm like, oh, that means something to you? That excites you that one man
mm-hmm.
can become a trillionaire?
Right.
Well, you know, you could too one day. Oh, okay. All right. I mean, it's that mentality, Jay.
Yeah. Well, you know, getting back to the one caller who's blamed it on the parents, I think we all know that in order for anyone to make it in this society, you need help. You know,
no question.
I mean, the founder of Facebook, I mean, I always use this example, real quick story. When he came up with the idea for Facebook, he wanted it to be used to communicate with kids at Harvard, right? And then he met with some people. They said, you need to think bigger than that. He said, what, Harvard, MIT? They're like, no, bigger than that. He said, across the state? No, bigger than that. Across the country? No, worldwide. He never thought that big. It wasn't until Zuckerberg met with all these other people who elevated him, who wrapped their arms around him and loved on him, and because they saw his vision could be bigger, that it became what it is today. So if that's what it takes for a person to become a millionaire, just imagine if just a few people just lend their hands to people who need a little bit of help, how much we could elevate them ourselves.
Look, man, it's unfortunate, but we've reached the end of today. But promise me you'll come back.
I'll be back. All you have to do is call.
All right. So that's James Causey, award-winning journalist from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank everybody who made this show go. Thank you, Calvin. I'll be back on tomorrow as my co-host Sandy Williams will be joining me. We'll see you later.
Advocates Radio Show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Going to the Bavarian Beer House. You can join us there. Little politics, then Packers.
Mike and Dom bring the show to you in the Milwaukee area at the Bavarian Beer House in Glendale. Join them Thursday starting at 4 with a Packers party after the live broadcast.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media.